Vayelech. Parashat Aman Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the very first Pasuk of the Parashat. Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber Es Zivram Me'el Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu went and told these words over to Bnei Yisrael. So he spoke them over to them. So this is the question. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu go right before he died? So we sort of have a few ways of understanding the Parashat. The first thing I'm going to say is the Chassidish report that everybody tells over. I don't know who this originated from, but last week's Parashat is Nitzavim. This week's Parashat is Vayelech. So it goes like this. Nitzavim means to stand still. Vayelech means to move. So they say that Nitzavim Vayelech are always together. Atem Nitzavim Ayom. If you're a Stam and Am Haaretz, a person of the land, a regular person, you're a Nitzavim. You're not moving anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Vayelech Moshe. A person like Moshe Rabbeinu is always moving, always becoming a better person, always growing, always, you know, looking to become more and more and more. That's the famous word that they give. But really, where was he going? What does it mean that he went somewhere before he did it? So the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachaya both say that he had finished telling everybody what they needed to know in last week's Parsha. They all went home. Everybody went home. Later, Moshe realized he was going to die on that day. Either he told all, you know, whatever happened in Yitzhak was days earlier, or was earlier in the day. He realized that day he was going to die. He wanted to tell everyone, but he didn't want to have to gather them back, you know, a second time in front of them. Instead, he went to them to break the news, to tell them he was going to die, and so to speak, get permission to die. To tell them, listen, this is what's going to happen.
Thousands and thousands of doors.
I would assume it was the Nasi of the Sheva. That's what it sounds like. You know, like he went to the Nasi of the Sheva, went from one Sheva to the other, and they gathered in front of there, as opposed to every house. I don't think he was going house to house and be like, hi, Moshe, I just want to say I'm dying. That's a bit much. The Chizkuni says he wasn't even allowed to call to them, because Ein Shiltun B'Yom HaMavet, you don't have a rulership on the day of your death. Therefore, it had to be that he had to go to them and not them to him. That was actually the rule. Ein Shiltun B'Yom HaMavet, on the day of your death, you have no power, so to speak. On the day of your death, there's no rulership position. You can't be a person who's in charge. So therefore, he couldn't call them to come to him. It's based on the Rabbeinu Bachaya. I forgot what the wording is. I think it's based on a Medrash. What's up, Jake? But not from this parsha, from somewhere else. Yeah. That's for sure true. But Ein Shiltun B'Yom HaMavet means you can't show rulership over others. Oh, you know what it's based on? And the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph with David HaMelech. It's not that exact wording, but it's based on that. That there was nothing that not in charge on the end of his life. Jimmy Am always points out that a true leader would never think about himself at his death. He would only think about how his people will react to it. I'm the leader. What are they going to do when I'm gone? So Moshe's last thoughts were entirely about the people. Not what's going to be with him, but what's going to be with them. What's going to be with them? That's clear in the last few parshas. He felt so strongly about it. He needed to tell them about his imminent death. And that's by Yelech Moshe. I need to tell you what's going to happen over here. That's me on the ways. The Or HaChaim Kadosh asks how a person knows he's going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu, how could he have known that? Even David HaMelech was refused. When he was told, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Shabbos Lamed Aleph, when am I going to die? He was told, you can't know it. No one is allowed to know the day of their death. That's what it tells us there. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu have been any different? How could he have known that he was going to die? And is there a remez that says that he was telling them that he was going to die? Just as Vayelech Moshe Yidaber Zedavram Yelo Kol Yisrael, it doesn't say that he's going to tell them that he's going to die. So where do we get that from? How do we understand that? That it's as if he's telling them, I'm going to die. So the Or HaChaim Kadosh says from a Zohar. He says it in two different places. One here in Parshas Vayechi. Here he says that 40 days before your death, your neshama leaves you. I don't fully understand what that means. But your neshama leaves you 40 days before you die. Over there he says 30 days before your death, your tselem elokim leaves you. And a tzaddik knows when his neshama / tselem elokim leaves. And because of that, they know something's going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to it earlier when he started on Rosh Chodesh Shvat and ended on this day. He knew this was going to be the last day of his life. That's why he gave them brachos on that day. That's what he ended up doing. David HaMelech was different. The reason why David HaMelech couldn't know the day of his death was because his time was all borrowed time. We're all aware of this medrash that David HaMelech was never supposed to be born, and 70 years were taken off of other Marishon's life and given over to Yosef HaTzadik. You know, there's another little known medrash that says that he took the years from Yosef and from Yaakov. You know that? 147 minus 110. Yaakov lived to 147. He should have lived to 180. He lost 33 years of his life, and Yosef HaTzadik was supposed to live to 147. That's what Yaakov lived to. Instead, he lived to 110. He lost 37 years of his life. 37 plus 33 is 70. That's another measure that people don't know, that he got it from Yaakov and Yosef. Regardless, Davamelech was on borrowed time. He literally did not know how much time was borrowed. Although a normal tzaddik knows when they're going to die, Davamelech himself was different. He didn't know that time. So that's the idea behind it. Well, that's later. That's later. How do you know right now in Vayelech Moshe that he was going to die later on that day? How do you know in the beginning of the day? Later on, you're right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, now go up in the mountain and die. But how do you know now? This, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, he must have known because of what was happening before. Now, the Ibn Ezra says, he went to every Shevet and he blessed them. Even though the blessing, the bracha, is actually in Zosa Bracha, it's out of order, says the Ibn Ezra. It belongs here. He went to every Shevet, blessed them, and told them that he was going to die. That's what he was going to do in confidence. He was trying to instill confidence within them. Yoshua will be able to lead you. All the same idea that the Ramban is saying, the same idea that the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya set up above. The Megid Yosef explains, appointing a leader, you're going to have to help me with this, because I don't totally agree with this idea, but he quotes it from the Grizz, that people, in order to make a king, you need the haskama of everyone. Everyone has to agree to it, that this man should be the king. By Shmuel and Avi, when he made Shaul HaMelech the king, he said to the people, do you accept him as the king? Does everybody accept him? And they accepted him, and then Shmuel and Avi made Shaul HaMelech the king. So apparently that needs to be, if he would have forced them to come to him, then said, Yoshua will be your leader, it's almost like you better keep it or else. So they would keep it, even though they didn't necessarily want to. If he goes to them, and goes over to them and says, I am going to make Yoshua the leader, if you agree to it, it's as if he's putting it in their hands. That's what the Megid Yosef says. I'm not so sure I agree with that svara entirely. I'm not so sure. It's more, if the leader comes to you and says, do you want him to be your leader? I kind of think that would also be a little pressure filled. I don't know if I would be able to be open to saying something. I'm not so sure. But regardless, that's how the Megiddo says that he had to go to them. Okay, that's that. The Kliyakar says there's a real purpose here. When
that's
he said...
leaders nowadays. You mean like Barack Obama needed votes from the Congress, so he personally called.
That's democracy in fact.
No, I know that, but he's saying the whole thing is you need the idea of everybody behind you, so if you personally call...
You personally...
Then they'll
you know what I'm saying? If Yoshua did that, that's one thing. If Moshe, the already leader, meaning this would be
right,
the old
Moshe, so established, if he told you to do it, he'll do it.
Exactly, and that's sure. That's what I'm saying. So it wouldn't matter if he comes to you or you go to him. It shouldn't matter. If the king is telling you, here's who's going to be the next king, you're going to accept it
right,
no matter what.
Or if he comes to you, it's like,
I guess so.
Really?
Yeah, once he's coming to me, then it's even more so. I see that it's important to him. I don't know. I guess so. The Kliyakar says another purpose. The next wording in the Pasuk is, Lo uchal od letzeis v'levo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not able to go and come anymore. So you think like this. There's two ways of understanding that. Lo uchal od letzeis v'levo means physically, I have no ability to do this anymore. I'm wasted tired. I just can't do it anymore. So I'm going to have to die. The other way of looking at it is, I'm not able to go because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want you to come anymore. So it's one of those two. I'm either physically tired and gone, or I'm spiritually not allowed to go in. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that they knew that physically he was able. Physically he was able to keep this up. He could have done this even more for years and years and years. But spiritually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, that's it. You're done. And he accepted it, even though he could. So he physically went out to every Shevet, says the Kliyakar. Went out to every single one of them and said, I'm ready. I could do this. But Hashem said, no, so I'm not doing it anymore. I'm stopping. Lo uchal od letzeis v'levo means spiritually I can't do this anymore, even though physically I'm ready. I am ready to do it. I can do it on my own. He says as well, if you want to say this applies to wisdom, I'm physically able to tell you over a Dvar Torah and to give you chokmah, to be able to say something, but I'm not allowed to anymore. My mayanos ha-chokmah are being taken from me against my will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing me to do it anymore. That's the idea behind it. It's now that the Torah Shebaksav ends, and Nitziv talks about this, that the era of Moshe Rabbeinu and the word of the Shechina coming down through his mouth, Torah Shebaksav, is over. Now comes the era of Torah Shebalpeh. That's the idea of what's going to happen from now on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to stop. That really is exactly what the Nitziv says. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be careful every single day of his life. If he said one word which was unnecessary, Torah Shebichtav would be affected. Because the people were understanding from him, this is what God says. Every word he said was ke'ilu, that God was speaking through his throat. If he messed up once, that would be terrible. What's up?
It also sounds pretty sure that he came back because he was the second
the second in command. He was the one to take it from the man who had the Shekhinah speak from him, and take it and was closest to Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to give it over to the rest of the people, what we call a Mesorah, I guess you can say. And he was the Torah Shebaal Peh, that this is what Moshe explained to me when everybody else was gone. That's the reason why Yeshua was chosen, for that exact reason. That's the pshat as to why, we all know, the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did according to the Rambam was that he said the word Shimuna Hamorim, listen, O rebellious ones, and thus he was punished. Says the Rambam, that word was an extra word. It was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell him directly, and because he added a word from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say, even though he meant it as muster to try to knock down Klal Yisrael, etc., you can't do that. Most Rabbeinu cannot do that. Yeah.
Okay, fine, so
why punish Moshe Rabbeinu?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, so it could have been, so you could look at it like it was a mistake, that, you know, it was, okay, a mishap, but
yeah.
Why punish?
Okay, the real shot behind it is to show Moshe Rabbeinu that once he does that, he no longer can be the emissary for Torah Shebaal Kesav. Now it ends. Now Torah Shebaal Peh is going to come along. When he showed that, yeah, it's really more of a result rather than a punishment, let's call it, a result of his action. The Kesav Sofer says, Vayelik refers, I don't know how he gets this exactly, it refers to when someone has something to say that has not yet been said. That's what Vayelik means. Moshe normally wasn't able to add anything on his own. Again, everything he said was the written Torah, etc. Everything that came from his mouth was like that. But now he was able to, says the Chassam Sofer. And that's by Yelech Moshe. He went on now to say whatever he wanted to say. He was able to say things that he wasn't able to do before. That's the idea behind it. Okay. I'm going to skip that other Kliyakar for now. Reb Moshe Feinstein says an unbelievable answer. I think I like this one the best, especially the second part to it. He says, when great tzaddikim pass away, it's after they fulfilled their mission in this world. Moshe was not done yet. Moshe's job was to bring B'nai Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't do it. That's what his job was. It's the worst ending to any book. You kind of expect for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to say, I just go in. But it doesn't happen. Moshe Rabbeinu stops in the middle of his mission. So even though normally people leave after they fulfilled their mission, everything's done, it's by Yelech Moshe. Moshe left in the middle of his mission. In the middle of his job, it's as if he went. And if you look, this is an unbelievable chop. I heard a shir about this when I was 19 years old. I was in Brooklyn and I was staying by a good friend of mine's house, and we were sitting there and we sat in on a shir, and it was in the middle of Parshas Matos Maaseh, and it was going through, there's very few Rashis like this, where Rashi will quote something and then right at the end of it he'll quote the pasuk and say V'gomer, and then go on to the next thing. He does it by the numbers. When they take in spoils after the war of Midian, he says something and says V'gomer, etc. It's the weirdest Rashi. There's no reason to say anything. You just skip on to the next Rashi. Rashi doesn't go through a pasuk. In the beginning of Vayelech, Rashi says Vayelech Moshe V'gomer, and then goes into Lo Uchal Od L'Tzeisvul Abo. Now, the pasuk shot behind that, and the way I looked at it up until now, the way everybody probably sees it as, is it's the beginning of the parsha. He had nothing to say on the first pasuk of the parsha. So he just said, Vayelech Moshe V'gomer, all right, low call, let's say, well, here I got something to say. But we've never seen Rashi do that, and since when does Rashi not have anything to say on the first pasuk of a parsha? I mean, the 54 parshas, 53 of them he has something to say, and Vayelech Moshe is weird. Where'd he come from? It is weird. Why not say something? So Moshe Feinstein says something so simple, it's beautiful, it's the sweetest word. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu left, everybody knew no one is going to take over for him. Moshe was gone. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. It wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu got up to tell over the people, the Pshat Behind Vayelech Moshe says Ramoshe. Ramoshe Feinstein is, Moshe's gone. No one's going to take over. No one's going to be like him. I have nothing. The Gomer. The pasuk is self-explanatory in that way. And then he goes on to Lo Uchal L'Tzeisvul Abo.
The Gomer is the end. So maybe nothing.
And he finishes it. That's interesting. That's interesting. The actual wording is Vav Gimel Vav, you know, with a little dash. But the Gomer, and he finished. It's done. It's finished. That's good. It's good. It's a good little word. But I like that word so much. Just the shot behind, the pasuk shot behind it. But Yelech Moshe, he's gone. There's nothing we're going to be able to do. All right, Yonasan Zil, Targum Yonasan Zil says the opposite. He did not go out to the Shvatim. Targum Yonasan says he went to the base medrash. He went to his base medrash. What base medrash did he have? He had two ohels. The ohel where he lived, which was by that by the rest of the Kohanim that were on the east side of the Mishkan that was right in the middle. So he was right there on the east side. And then he had another Ohel that was near the Ohel Moed that was known as the Ohel Beis Medrash. That's where the broken Luchos were, if they weren't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The broken Luchos were inside there. And he had his own area where he taught the people. Says Yonas ben Nezeel, he went there. Perhaps only the men came to go greet him, but instead of him going out to the people, they came to him. The Paris Yosef says, he stopped being able to learn. Rashi says he lost his Mayanos HaChokhmah. What's the first thing you do when you lose your Mayanos HaChokhmah? You go back and start all over again. Forget your Torah learning, start again. So he went back to the Beis Medrash and said, I may not be able to do anything yet, but I'll be able to go back to the Beis Medrash and I'll do more. I'll go sit in on Yoshua's shir. That's what he ended up doing, and he went back to the Beis Medrash with Sternbach. And Kamadah says, Moshe Rabbeinu spent his whole life running to the Beis Medrash and not doing anything else. So at the end of his life, when he wanted to go tell the people he was going to die, he couldn't. His legs led him straight to the Beis Medrash. He tried running away, but he ended up coming to the Beis Medrash. You know how that feels, you know, when you try to go somewhere else and just find yourself in the Beis Medrash, and you're just like, oh, I can't believe I'm here again. You know how that is. I don't know anybody that's not like that. So that's the idea, says Rav Sternbach. There's a Medrash Agada brought by the Moshe of the Canaan, that Moshe went from mountain to valley, from hill to all these different plains, from rivers to seas, and asked them to daven for him that he should be forgiven for his sins and go into Eretz Yisrael. And when he saw that it didn't work, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went back to the people. Unbelievable Medrash. What a Medrash. I don't even know how to explain it. The Moshe of the Canaan doesn't explain it, and I didn't see anyone that explains it. It's just amazing that that's the shot that he went to go daven. Very similar, if anybody remembers, the Gemara about Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, how he died in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, when it goes through near Yud Ches, Yud Zayin, I think, where it mentions that he went to all the mountains and hills and asked them to daven for him, and they're like, we can't daven for you. So he killed himself. He committed suicide, because he knew that he would have no tshuva otherwise. He cried until he died. That's what the Gemara says. It's very similar to that Gemara. I don't quite understand the Medrash, but it's there. Okay, the Chassam Sofer is bothered by all the stuff we have above. I'm giving a little bit of an introduction to this. This board from the Chassam Sofer is the last Dvar Torah he said before he died. His name was Reb Moshe Shriver. You should know, his name was Moshe. So for Chassam Sofer, this was his last Dvar Torah before he passed away. He's bothered by all the problems we set up above. He had the nation in front of him by Parsha Netzavim. Why would he send them away and then walk to them to tell them that he was going to die? Why did that happen? So he says, there's got to be, then somebody left are two different things. There are tafim, babies, mentioned in last week's Parsha, that came to hear Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Yitzhaven. There are taf in this week's Parsha by Hakel. By taf, that you should bring your babies over to Hakel. He says the following, he's such a board. He says like this, number one, it could be referring to two different types of kids. Yitzhaven is talking about the responsibilities of one Yid for another. It goes into Arvus. You are responsible for another Jew. That concept of everybody around is responsible for one another. That can't apply to babies, says the Chassam Sofer, because babies would not be able to take on the bris of Arvus. They would be able to hear it and get hashpa, and maybe like feel some kedusha from it, but they can't take on a deal. They can't do anything. So in last week's Parsha, the kids that came were the age of chinuch. They were the ones who went to Moshe Rabbeinu. The babies were kept at home. I don't know who watched them, but you know, miracles. The clouds watched them. So the babies stayed at home, and the men, women, and children, the older children, all went to Moshe Rabbeinu to hear what he had to say. Vayelech, here he's talking to everybody to tell them he's going to die. He's trying to be mashpia on them, the same way Hakel, the Kohen, the Melech, reads out loud the parshos of Devarim to get everybody mashpia. Even the little babies are there to be able to get that hashpa. And this week's parsha, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a young, young kid. Little babies were going to be there for Moshe Rabbeinu's last speech that I'm going to die. Here's the pshat. Says the Chassam Sofer, we know, I didn't know, but he knows that the 7th of Adar, which is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, was on Shabbos. How do we know that? There's a Russian Pesachim that says Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. What day is that? 7th of Adar. So the 7th of Adar was on Shabbos. Vayelech Moshe happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was dying. This is his last day of life, right? If there are babies, we have a problem. What's the issue? Shabbos he can't carry. And we know that Machne Yisrael is the definition of a Rishus Arabim. So they couldn't carry the babies to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to them. They stood by the opening of the tent, by the Pesach Ohel. They stood with their kids. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to the front of every Shevet and spoke to them that even the babies would be involved, but he couldn't make them come to him because if they came to him, nobody would be able to carry their babies. The babies would have to stay at home and they wouldn't get that hashpah. They wouldn't be able to be there. I mean, that's just crazy. It's a crazy sum so far. The fact that he said that at the end of his life, he said it in two different places. But he was going to that. It was brought in two different Sfarim and stuff like that. Sfarim goes in a different direction. He's trying to console the people, right? That everything's going to be okay. That they had just made a bris with Hashem. Don't be upset that I'm about to die. You shouldn't be upset about such a thing. So that's another way of looking at it. That's that Rav Sternbach says. They thought that maybe the bris was contingent on Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, maybe the whole bris would fall apart. So he has to say, no, don't worry about it whatsoever. Then comes the Bala Turin. I have so many kashas on this. I can't believe nobody asked this on the Bala Turin. It's very similar to a board that we said earlier. It's a little bit more. Last week's Parsha ends. Parsha Nitzavim ends with the words, Asher Nishba La'Avosecho La'Avram Li'Yitzchak Li'Yakov La'Seifohem, that God swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to give to them Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, Vayelech Moshe. So the Bala Turim says that based on this connection between these two, based on that connection, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Avos to tell them, don't worry, your children made it to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he told them. He went and he told them, you don't have to worry, everything happened, everything was perfectly fine. So I've got two problems. Number one, how would the Avos not know that? And if the Avos don't know that, how would Moshe Rabbeinu know that? When he was alive, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. He would only know about it after he died. So how in the world does this happen? I just don't understand. This Bala Turim, listen, it's a Bala Turim. I'm sure there's a shot behind it. I just don't understand what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell the others that their children ended up going in when he himself never saw it. He's not an aide. He's not a witness to it. He didn't see the Bnei Yisrael go inside Eretz Yisrael. How can he tell them anything at all? I don't have a shot behind
that. Doesn't happen. They have to fight a war.
They're going to have to fight, right. The promise was not fulfilled in Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime.
Very early, he's talking about that part.
That's so strange. That's true. That the psicha is right there. The wording of the Bala Turim is Eretz Yisrael, and especially because it says, "Asher nishba Hashem avosteichem l'seifohem." The end of the parsha is talking about Eretz Yisrael, not Eivor Yarden. That's where the board comes from. How could that be? I'm sorry. How are the Avos not confident? You know, like Moshe, go tell the Avos. He's going to tell the Avos that it happened. Everything was good. He can't tell them. I took care of them. So that's fine. Tell them, I took care of your children for a long time. Go ahead, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's fine. But that is no shaykh as the last week's parsha. What?
I told them. Moshe directly, Yeshua is going to bring them in.
Yeshua is going to bring them in.
Yes.
But Avram was
told you,
Avram was told also, your children will inherit the land. But it didn't happen. I hear it. Yeah, a promise is a promise. But a promise happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Avram Avinu. So the same promise should be there for both. And listen, there's got to be an answer. And maybe I'm making it dochik for no reason. Maybe it is obvious like that. I just find it such a strange Bala Turim. What's up, Jay?
You know Hashem showed him the land when he went up on the mountain? Or maybe Hashem showed
Rashi says that it referred not only to him showing the land, but he saw the future of Klal Yisrael throughout. So that's not a bad vort. If he saw all of Klal Yisrael throughout, then he did see them go inside Eretz Yisrael. That's not a bad vort. Yeah. If we're going with that, maybe I guess you could say that he saw it in his Nebuah.
And he always probably goes and...
He saw that as well. Yeah. He's go up to Avram. Yeah, you left that part out. He's just like, anyway.
He
saw that also. Yeah, there's no question. He also.
He did.
Exactly. He saw the case. He saw Mashiach coming. It's so strange. It's such a weird Bala Turim. What's the need to say such a thing? I don't get it exactly. All right. Kirush's lady says, there are two ways to talk about a Shlev Tzibor. You've seen this throughout Shas. Yored Lifnei Ateva and Over Lifnei Ateva. Yored Lifnei Ateva, Over Lifnei Ateva. I always thought that Over Lifnei Ateva means the guy who goes up to Daven, and the Yored Lifnei Ateva is because usually the Shliach Tzibor was in a deeper place than everybody else. If you look at the old time shoals, they try to make the Aron Kodesh bigger so that the whole area goes down a little bit and then up toward the very end. Like if you go down to the Belmont shoal, right, you'll see that that's how that shoal is made. The old time shoals were all made that way, that it goes down and then up. So the Shliach Tzibor is actually in the deepest place. Do they have that in Europe?
Yeah, Europe.
In Europe they have it.
So in the Ramaz show, where the Chazan Damas is actually like an
indentation. Unbelievable.
In part of shows, the Chazan stands up
on. Does Kins have that?
It goes downwards.
There is a slope. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, they did. The obvious reason behind it is to make the Aron Kodesh bigger. That was the obvious reason. That's why, because if you go further down, you can make it bigger. Yeah, that's it. This is where it comes from. And it's actually brought in halacha. So I always thought Yorid with Dan Table was that. Says the Kedushas Levi, it's a little bit different. When a tzaddik davens to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's trying to connect himself to the words of his tefillah, to try to make his words and his thoughts as one, everything together. He puts all of his kochos into it. He concentrates fully on what he's saying until he can't feel anything physical anymore. He's literally up there with the words, going up to Shemayim together with it. I have not accomplished that. He may not, but he doesn't fully understand what Chazal were getting at when they created the tefillah. Obviously, you know, to get to that point where you understand what every word in tefillah is, that's obviously a hard way. But nonetheless, you let the words, so to speak, lead you in that direction. You let the words lead you ahead. That's called Yored Lifnei Hateva. You go down and allow the word to lead you up to Shemayim. You allow the words to lead you, so to speak. There are other tzaddikim out there that are above this level. They're able to figure out exactly what Chazal meant. They're able to be over the teva. They pass by the word and are able to get even further than their koach of tefillah. So to speak, what they say about the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov is able to climb on top of his tefillos and go all the way up to Shemayim. That he used it as a ladder, so to speak, to go up in Shemayim and talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The idea behind it is over Lifnei Hateva. He passed in front of the teva. Says the Kedushas Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu always was on the level of over Lifnei Hateva. He had a spaklaria ha-me'ira, the clearest nevuah that a person could have. He was able to know every tefillah, what would be potent at every time. 40 days for the egel, 5 words for Miriam. Altogether, 515 tefillahs to daven and get himself into Eretz Yisrael. And even though that didn't work, it only didn't work because he wasn't able to say his 515th tefillah. That's the only reason why it didn't work. This was the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. He no longer had that power of tefillah that he once had. So at this point, he was finally, even though normally he was over with Lifnei Hateva, he crossed in front of the teva. This is the first time that he was yored with Lifnei Hateva. He went down in front of the teva. Says the Kedushas Levi, thus, Vayelech Moshe Vayedaber. Vayelech Moshe means he went after the Dibor that he spoke. His Dibor led him instead of him leading his words. That's the idea behind what would happen with Moshe Rabbeinu over here. That's when he realized that somebody else would have to take over. Now we're on to the Chassidish part. We don't have that much time, but we'll do a couple things over here. Mayan Shel Torah brings down a verse. He says, where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? He went into every Jew throughout Klal Yisrael, throughout the future. Everybody has a nitzot, a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu within them. Thus you can understand the words. Vayelech Moshe, I'll call Yisrael. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? He went into the souls of every single Jew from that point on. You know the idea. The idea is that every Jew connects to a letter of the Torah. Every Jewish neshama has a connection to a certain letter in the Torah. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was equal to 600,000 Jews, meaning he was equal to every letter of the Torah. So if he's equal to every letter in the Torah, that means he's connected to every Jewish soul. That means he's a part, so to speak, of every Jewish soul out there. He has a spark within everybody. For that reason, no one knows where he's buried, because he's buried within us. Every part of Moshe Rabbeinu is buried within us. We all have it. It's Far Shlomo, the Radomsker says, that's why in the Gemara, have you ever seen this? Moshe, Shaper Komarto. Moshe, you said well. They use that in the Gemara. It's an expression. Moshe, Shaper Komarto. They call him Moshe. Because when a person says that good of a word, that chief of a word, it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. It comes from the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu within you that is your chelik in the Torah, and that's the pshat. And that's what it means by Yedaber HaSadvarim. You're able to speak your words of wisdom because Vayelech Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went to every person of Bnei Yisrael. Rav Wolfson even says it in a different way. He says Moshe Rabbeinu lowered himself to the generations so that everybody would feel shaykhus, everybody would feel kiddusha to him. Three things. The Meshech Chachmas, yeah. It's exactly it. The Meshech Chachmas says the best for it. That people already were idolizing Moshe Rabbeinu while he was alive and considering him a god, a lowercase g god. Had he died and they saw that his tefillos were so potent, everybody would daven by his kever, and if they davened by their kever and saw their tefillos were there, they would treat him as if he was a god beyond everybody else. His tefillos, the tefillos by his kever would be like nothing else. Gemara even says in Sota that they tried going to it. They saw that there was a cave on the bottom. So they went to the cave, and then they saw the cave was on top of them. So they went up, and then they saw the cave below them. They realized that they couldn't get to the cave itself. That the opening of the cave was given all the information in the world where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Opposite Baal Peor and Har Nevo, it says exactly where he's buried. The problem is, they went there. The Romans went there, whatever it is, and they tried finding it. So they went to the cave, and they saw a cave across from Baal Peor, and they said, oh, that's it. So they climbed the mountain, went to the cave, and they saw there was below them. Then they went down below and they saw that it was above them. So they split up, someone below, someone above. The one above said it's below. The one below said it's above. They couldn't find it. They realized, lo yada ish es kuroso, that nobody could know where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. It's an unbelievable idea, but it does break the Meshach Chachma, because you basically know where he is. So you can just stop him. No, I don't know. Benil, you were just there, weren't you? Did you go to this area?
Yeah.
But that's by Aaron. That's Har. But they don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is.
No.
But we do know where Baal Peor is, don't we? They don't know. I guess they lost it. What?
Yeah, so you see it close.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what we do anyway, right? I mean, pretty much any time. You can't do it by Baal Peor, though. That would be elsewhere. But you'd be able to do it by the other area.
Baal Peor is an idol.
Yeah, whatever the Baal Peor is. Or an idol with a lot of...
They have
a you can't dive in there anyway. There's a lot of excrement there. It probably smells. I'm assuming the whole area is like a big toilet. So I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be able to dive in anywhere around there. Anyway, the Igret HaKala points out that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said before, died on Shabbos at Mincha time. You should know, by the way, that's the reason why we say Tzidkascha on Friday, on Shabbos day by Mincha. We say Tzidkascha because Moshe Rabbeinu died right before Shkia on that day. He had David and Melech. Also, I forgot who the third was. It's Moshe, David, and somebody else. But that's why we say Tzidkascha. It's for those three people.
What's the connection
between Tzidkascha? The what? Tzidkascha Tzidkadin. We're saying Tzidkadin, that everything that God does is just, even though a man like Moshe Rabbeinu died. Except that. But there's a lot of questions on that. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Sefer Torah on the last day of his life. If he wrote a Sefer Torah, some say 13 Sefer Torah, which is amazing. But if you wrote a Sefer Torah on the last day of his life, it was Shabbos. How can you write a Sefer Torah on the last day of your life? So the Rosh says it can't be. He must have died in Erev Shabbos. So the Mekubalim says the Igret HaKala of the Bnei Yisrael would write a tremendous Kiddush. He died in Erev Shabbos, and he died on Shabbos. What's Shabbos? Remember that Zohar we mentioned earlier, that the Neshama leaves the body 40 days earlier? So Igret HaKala says, nah. The Neshama leaves the day before you die. The Neshama leaves you one day before you pass away. His neshama left him on Friday, on that day when he wrote up all the Sefer Torah and did everything like that. But his body died on Shabbos itself. He explains a lot through that, but the craziest part is Vayelech Moshe. Vayelech Moshe means his neshama, which was named Moshe, left him on that day, on Friday. That's when it left him, and then he died the next day on Shabbos, 24 hours later on Shabbos. That is a tremendous Igret HaKala. But he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to write by Yamas Shem Moshe. The Gemara says he couldn't write it because it's past tense, right? So you can't write anything in past tense. He could, because his neshama died the day before. So he could write by Yamas Shem Moshe. Is that what? No. He would write it on Friday after the neshama already left him. You know what I'm saying? You were read it on Friday after the Neshama already left him. That's when you wrote it. That. The only problem with that is it does say right before that he went up the mountain to die. That couldn't have happened. I don't know, maybe the Neshama climbed the mountain, but that would be a little bit of a problem. It's Chassam Sofer's famous kasha, which he blamed Sarah Ian on. We all say the last 8 psukim in the Torah couldn't have been written by Moshe, and it had to be written by Yoshua, written by Dema, etc. Right? 4 psukim earlier, it says, and Moshe Rabbeinu climbed the mountain and looked each way, and then he died on the mountain. Meaning he didn't come down after he saw what he saw on the mountain. So who wrote those 4 psukim? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, because he couldn't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Gemara and Sotah also on you, Gimel. So that's okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing a lot of that stuff. Yeah, no, it's possible. The kasha is, can you write something in past tense when it hasn't happened yet? That's the only kasha. Yeah, so the Rabbeinu Bechaya just says yes. So he answers the question. But the Gemara says, how can you write by Moshe Rabbeinu? He didn't die yet. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it's fine, don't worry. That's literally the answer of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. So stop asking these questions. That's great, because the Gemara's question, the Rabbeinu Bechaya is like, this is silly. But let's end with this. The Maril says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was truly on the 50th level of Shari Bina his whole life. He was on the highest level of learning his entire life. But when he needed to speak to the people, he had to bring himself down a little bit, bring himself to level 49 so that they could relate to him. If he was on level 50, nobody could relate to him. You're on level 49, people could relate to you. So now at the end of his life, he was no longer given permission to be mashpia to the people. It was now Yoshua's job. So right? That's Yoshua's job to be mashpia. So until this point, Vayelach Moshe, until this point, Moshe Rabbeinu would bring himself down to talk to the people. But now, no longer is he going to be able to do it. Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo. I no longer can leave my level and come to your level. Now I have to stay on the level that I'm at, and therefore I can't talk to you anymore. That's why Hazinu is written so weird. Hazinu is 620 words altogether. And according to the Ramban, it contains everything from the beginning of time to the end of time. There's no song like it. It's supposed to contain everything inside it. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not explain a word of it. The pshat is that he was on the 50th level of Torah learning. The 50th level of Torah learning, you can't get down, you can't dumb it down for the people. So he couldn't explain it to anybody. So when he said Hazinu, everybody was like, what does that mean? And he's like, ah, that's Yoshua. That's that. Like he brought it to them and gave it over to them, and that was that. So may I should welcome this as well. So just very quickly, we went through the Ramban's Derech, which is also the Ibn Ezra's as well, that he went out to the people. We explained the Kliyakar, the Nesiv, etc. Went to Ramosha Feinstein. Then we said Yonas and Luzil, the opposite, that he went to the base measures, they came to him. We explained with the parties Yosef, etc. We said the Chassam Sofer that went through the problems and says there was a problem of carrying the little kids. We said the Sforno, that he said he went to console the people. We said the Balaturim, which we were a little confused about. The Kedushas Levi about Davin and the Chassidus Torah, about how Moshe Rabbeinu either came with us, or he ended up dying the day before, or the Maril's idea that he was on the 50th Shardina and can no longer go down to the level of the people. Shkach, everybody, will stop at